Amen. Here we are having church on Sunday night. We even have church on Super Bowl night. Hallelujah. Would you turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Romans chapter 6? I'm not going to do the series. I know we've been in there. But I want to look at a verse. Musicians, you can be prepared to come back in a little bit. We'll have song service as the candidates are getting prepared. We want this to be a memorable night. Amen. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be expositing these verses tonight as sometimes I do, but I do want to read them. If you would stand for the reading of the word, I just want to draw your attention to one portion of what we read. It's one explanation of baptism. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the congregation answered with two words. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is one explanation of why we baptize in water, and it's a good one. Amen. But what I want to call your attention to in this explanation is the last part of verse 4. Paul says that we have been baptized to show that we have been raised up with the life of God in us, that we should walk, listen to this, in the newness of life. New life. Person really gets saved. It's new. It's new. Briefly, I want to share tonight that baptism says it's new. Baptism says it's new. Hallelujah. Father, help us tonight. May your Holy Spirit be in our hearts, a living, a quickening force. Lord, help me, O God, tonight to share your word with the power of the gospel. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Baptism is a testimony that things about you are new. Things about you are new. Some years ago, a Chinese boy in Singapore, a very unchristian nation, a high school senior Chinese boy in Singapore, got saved just towards the end of the year, came to know Christ. As soon as he got saved, the minister to whom he turned scheduled a baptism service. It was getting close to the day of his baptism service, and he got the announcement at school that he had just won a coveted scholarship to the University of Hong Kong. He was excited about that until he read there on the papers, and it said to receive the scholarship, to use the scholarship, you had to be a Confucianist. And here he is about to get baptized in water, but to have the scholarship, he's got to be an adherent to this false religion. He had quite a temptation and quite a battle. Does he? And there that baptism, the news would have been out. It was a public affair. Does he get baptized in water as a Christian and lose the scholarship? Or does he cancel the baptism and get the scholarship? Finally, it came the day of decision. He had to let them know that he would receive, accept the scholarship. And he went to them. He said, I cannot receive your scholarship because it says you must be a Confucianist. And I'm about to get baptized because I found Christ as my Savior. Oh, I'm telling you, there's something new about that fella. The next person in line to get the scholarship found out that they were getting the scholarship because this young man had turned it down and found out the reason he had turned it down. When he heard that, he said, I can't receive the scholarship either. Because if this Jesus means that much to my classmate, I want to know that Jesus too. And he got saved and got baptized. I'm telling you, when you really get saved, you make those type of decisions because something is new about you. And baptism says something is new about me. Amen. A Chinese boy in Singapore, he doesn't make that type of decision unless he's encountered new life and he's got something new alive on the inside of him. Oh, can you say amen tonight? I'm talking about baptism. Amen. Baptism's not to get something. You get baptized because you already got something. Amen. Baptism isn't to have something done to your heart. You get baptized in water because something has already happened in your heart. Baptism doesn't wash away your sins. Baptism is a testimony that your sins have already been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you are saved. You are born again. Oh, can you say amen? It's not the water that washes. It's the blood of Jesus that washes. And the ceremony tonight in the water is just a statement. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. I'm clean. I'm clean of my past. And I've got a great future for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Baptism is about becoming new. Salvation makes you new. And being new, you're baptized in water. Amen. As a statement, it's new with me. What is new? First of all, water baptism says, I have new life. That's what it says. I have new wife. I just noticed as I'm preaching, you're looking at pictures of early baptism services of this church. That's Wolf Creek over there at Cornell and Gettysburg. And those two men up there a while ago were Brother Vaughn and Brother Barry. I just got a glimpse, so I hope I'm right. Amen. But we're still having baptisms at Union Road Pentecost. You know why? Because folks are still getting saved. Hallelujah. How many knows he's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Oh, hallelujah. I'm off track for a moment here, but I was praying here a week or so ago in this place, just wanting to see God move, thinking of folks whose lives are so entangled in sin. But all of a sudden, the words from the prophet Isaiah came to me when the Lord spoke through the prophet and said, I'm mighty to save. I'm mighty to save. Folks are mighty lost, but he's mighty to save. Oh, tell your folks about it. Tell your friends about it. There's someone that can make you new. And water baptism says, I have a new life. I read it to you from Romans. I just went over it with our baptism candidates. Amen. But baptism is an illustration and a figure of what first happened with Christ. They killed Christ. He was dead. His human life, amen, was dead. They buried him. They laid him out in a tomb. He was dead, laid out in a tomb. But the third day, the Spirit of the Lord entered that tomb and raised Jesus up from the dead and glorified body to live eternally. Hallelujah. Amen. And just like Christ died, when a person gets saved, that's death to the old you. That's death to the old life. That's death to the old way of living. That's death to the old desires. That's death to the old values or lack thereof. Hallelujah. That kind of life, you're going to bury it. You're going to put it in a tomb of the past. You're going to put it in the tomb of yesterday. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But when we put you down in water, that's what it's saying. That old life is dead. Going underwater saying that old life is buried. But when we raise that candidate up out of the water. Hallelujah. That's a figure. That's an illustration that Christ has given them new life. And they come out of the water with new life and a new way of living and a new way of thinking and a new way of feeling and a new way of seeing. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, water baptism says, I have new life. Everything about that world sapped the life out of me. It killed me. It killed my joy. It killed my peace. It killed everything about. Oh, but when Jesus came into my heart, I began to live. Hallelujah. Water baptism says, I have new life. I got new life. Praise the name of the Lord. The old me, the old way of living, it's dead. I've got Jesus. Therefore, I've got new life. I want to tell you tonight, if I truly have new life, we'll be uncomfortable in the atmosphere of the old life. I believe that. If we've got new life, we will be uncomfortable in the atmosphere of the old life. We're still friendly, but if we've got new life, we are uncomfortable in the presence of the friends of the old life. If we've got new life, we are uncomfortable doing the things that we did in the old life. Hallelujah. Because when we got a new life, we're through with the old way of living. We're as uncomfortable with the old way of living as a fish is if you take it out of water. Hallelujah. When you get born again, you get new life. The atmosphere you want is the house of God. The atmosphere you want is the presence of God. Oh, aren't you glad when you got saved? You got a new life. Amen. It isn't just a new way of living. It's a new life that results in a new way of living. Amen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Somebody says, I got saved, but I still go to the same places. I still have the same alcoholic habit. I still do all the things I ever did. I live the same way. I like the same movies. I like the same music. No, sir, no, ma'am. You didn't get saved. Because when you get saved, the life of God, I said the life of God comes into your heart. And God doesn't like that kind of living. God's not interested in that. Oh, hallelujah. And water baptism says, hallelujah, I have new life. Last week, Hannah texted me in a frenzy. On her way to work, she'd stopped by at Walmart. Lost her wallet. I called her up. Had her Christmas money in it. All of her bank cards and all that stuff, you know. Not credit cards, but you know, bank cards. Frantic. I called her up. She said, Dad, she said, some folks just called me. They had to wait till they get home. I'm just telling you what she said. You know, she said they must have been older folks because they didn't have a cell phone and they had to wait till they get home. They lived about 20 miles away. She said they just called me and said they had my wallet, wanted to know where I was at. And they're going to bring it by to me. She said, Dad, they sound like Christian folk. No doubt. Find a wallet and call. Trace you down and give it to you. They brought it by work. Of course, it had everything in it. Tried to give her something for it. She said, Dad, they were Christian folks. They didn't go to the same kind of church we went to. They're Christian folks. I said, sure they were. Now listen to me. There are folks that aren't Christians that will do something like that. But they're going to be the exception to the rule. They're doing it in spite of not being Christians. But I truly believe that every true Christian would have done that very thing. They would have looked in there, saw that $200 cash. Wow, I didn't mean to reveal that. Sorry, Hannah. They'd have absconded that in a hurry. It'd been gone. But Christian folks look in there and see that. And you know what they say? I'm a Christian. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care if I got a bill to pay. Amen. I'm a Christian. I'm going to find out whom this belongs to. You know why they do that? They weren't just trained that way. It's because they got new life. I'm telling you, Christianity is not a religion. It's not a philosophy. It's a life. They have new life. I better move on. Secondly, water baptism says, I have a new love. I have a new love. A person that is not born again loves this world and loves the things of this world. Yes, sir. A person that doesn't have new life, they love the things of this world. But I'm telling you, a person that is born again loves God, loves the things of God, loves the Word of God, loves the people of God, loves the singing about God. Hallelujah. Water baptism says, I have a new love. I did love the things of this world. You know, I know I repeat things over and over when I'm a preaching. I understand that. But I think everybody needs to understand. Amen. If I love that world, I love that world that I can't stay right with God or get right with God, I don't have new life. I may have the name. I may have the title. I may understand the things about God. I may give the right answers in Sunday school class. But if I've got a love for that world, I don't have new life. You see, it's the unsaved that has a love for this world. But I'm telling you, when you get born again, all of a sudden you've got a new love. You're not in love with the world anymore. You're in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You'll stand in church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you got a new love when you got saved? Amen. John the apostle said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. This is a next verse, such a powerful scripture for all of us. But as a young person, it got a hold of my life, my heart. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You love that world, you got to understand something about it. The things that you love in that world are going to pass away, and if you love the things of the world, you're going to pass away with it. But oh, if you get the love of God in your heart, hallelujah, when everything around you passes away, you'll be abiding forever in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Got a new love. That's what baptism said. I've got a new, I don't love those things anymore. No, sir. Seeing Brother Vaughn up there, they tell me, he said, and I knew him, but he had already got to the place he wasn't able to communicate a whole lot. They said he'd always get up and say, when I got saved, I kept on dancing all I wanted to. I kept on smoking all I wanted to. I kept on drinking all I wanted to. I just didn't want to. Amen. Isn't that right, Sister? You know why? He got a new love. Oh, hallelujah. Pardon? The want to was gone. He got a new love. He used to love the world. Now he loves the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Adonai Judson, that great missionary working with the Karen people, I believe in Burma, told of a time that he was dealing with a lady about baptism. He wanted to see if she was saved, begin to deal with her. And he noticed that she had this necklace on her neck, just a big kind of gaudy thing. He could tell she was so proud of that. I mean, she was just so caught up in that. And as he began to deal with her about baptism, he kept noticing the vanity she had in that. And so he looked at her and he said, listen, you say you're saved. I just want to know something. Before I baptize you, would you be willing to take off that necklace and lay that down to serve the Lord? She looked at him like he was crazy, and he said he saw it rise up within her. I ain't giving that up. I'm not doing doing that. And so he said, listen, amen, if you're happy for what God's done for you and you love Christ more than you love that, would you take it off? The struggle went on, but all of a sudden she reached up and she took that and tore it off her neck and said, I've got saved and I love Jesus and I'm willing to lay this down so I can be baptized and show the world I've got a new love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Water baptism says I have a new life. Water baptism says I have a new love. And last of all, water baptism says I have a new Lord. I have a new Lord. I grew up in a town that was dominated by another kind of Christianity. And in my high school and different ones, I would run into this. There'd be a person, Brother Steve, that would claim to be a Christian. They'd still drink. They'd still curse. They'd still tell dirty jokes. And if you called anybody's attention to it, here's what they would say. Well, that just goes to show you that they took Christ as their Savior, but they didn't take Him as their Lord. They would divide the two. You know, you take Christ as your Savior, He saved you from sin and hell, and then it would be nice, but you really don't need to, but it'd be nice if someday you'd take Him as your Lord. I don't find that dichotomy in Scripture. I don't see how you can separate the two and take Him as Savior and not Lord. Read through the book. It's not there. Amen. If you take Him as Savior, you're taking Him as Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you could take Him as Savior and not as Lord, if you really took Him as Savior, why wouldn't you want Him to be Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. To take Him as Savior, it's to take Him as the Lord of your life. It's to fall down as Thomas did and said, my Lord and my God. It's to fall down as Paul did on the road to Damascus and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Hallelujah. Water baptism says we have a new Lord. I want to remind folks, everybody's got a Lord. Everybody's got a master. Amen. In sin, the master is sin. For whosoever sins is the servant of sin. Amen. Everybody's going to have a master. Hallelujah. It was a little too contemporary for some folks' blood when it first came out. But that song, contemporary song that came out when I was a teenager, it had the right message. It said, you got to serve somebody. How many knows you're going to serve somebody? Oh, I like my Lord. I like to sing, for He is Lord. For He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, water baptism says that we have a new Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight we're going to baptize in the name of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. I've already talked to the candidates. Some people misunderstand that. They think there's some mystical power in using those exact words, in the name of Jesus, like abracadabra. Amen. That's not a formula of magical ability. In the name of Jesus, to be baptized in His name is this. Everyone in Jesus' world, Paul's world, understood it. It was a common occurrence. If you wanted to be a follower of a certain teacher, if you wanted to submit to that teacher's teaching, if you wanted to submit to the life that that teacher purported, then you had a little kind of ceremony and you undertook that ceremony in the name of whatever teacher that you were going to be determined to follow. And therefore, when I say in the name of Jesus, it's not just a little formula with magical power. Amen. To baptize someone in the name of Jesus means they are making a decision to make Christ their Lord, Jesus their Lord, and they're going to follow Him. They're going to obey Him. They're going to say yes to Him. He is going to be Lord, and they're going to be the servant. That's a good arrangement. Hallelujah. I was teaching the students this week, and one of the vocabulary words there in that class was doulos or doulos, and the definition is servant. And I told them how, and reminded them how often Paul began his epistles, and he would say, Paul, a servant, a doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I believe water baptism says that. And I believe when someone really gets saved, they're saying he is Lord. I want to remind you of what Jesus' words were. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible to do. You cannot say, I'll be a Christian, I'll serve God, but I'll keep on serving these things and doing these things of the world. You cannot serve two masters. An impossibility. And I believe if you want to be saved, if you want to make it to heaven, if you want the wonderful experience of serving God, just realize right off, I'm not here to serve two masters. I'm here to serve one master. And the master I have chosen is the Lord Jesus Christ. For every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord of all. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Music, you can begin to come. Brother Steve will be getting ready and our musicians. I know I've mentioned this a lot because it's got such a hold on me, but remember that man at the pool? Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? He said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm yet coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and on the same day was a Sabbath. The man rose up, took up his bed and walked, and the same day was a Sabbath. And you know what? The Jews said unto him, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Now, he didn't know all about the rules, and he didn't get in a theological debate, and he didn't get bent out of sorts. He just said to them, you're telling me I shouldn't carry my bed? But he said, this is his words. These are his words. I quote the man. He said, he that made me whole said unto me, take up thy bed. You know what he just said? He said, I'm not going to get in debate with you. You can say I'm fanatical. You can say I'm out of place. You can say I don't need to go this overboard. You can say all that. But the only thing I know, the one that told me to carry my bed was the same one that made me whole. And if he made me whole, I'm just going to do whatever he told me to do. That's somebody that really gets saved. Hallelujah. He that took away my sins, if he tells me to do it, I'm just going to do it, because you got to remember something. He took away my sin. Well, you're being a little fanatical, don't you think? All I know, hallelujah, the one that told me, the one that spoke to me, he's the one that made a way so I could go to heaven and escape hell. I'm just going to do it because he's my Lord. Water baptism says we have a new Lord. Missionary, I don't know, can't remember if it's South America or Africa, had some new converts, the nationals of that land. Took them to the river to baptize them, but the river was so swift. What they would do, what the missionary did was to take a spear, and the idea was when they got out in the current to drive the spear down into the riverbed so they'd have something to hold on to and steady themselves so the current wouldn't take them on down the river. So the missionary waded out into the river with the national that was going to be baptized. The national was standing there as the missionary took that spear and thrust it and grounded it, anchored it in the river. What the missionary didn't know is that he had drove that spear through that national's foot as he went into the man never flinched. The man never cried out. He stood there as the missionary talked and prayed, put him underwater, tried to move the man out. The man was stuck to the river bottom. And then they realized what had happened. The spirit went through his foot to the riverbed. And they asked him, they said, why didn't you say something? He said, oh, I thought it was part of baptism. Now think about it. He was so thrilled with his new life. He was willing not only to be baptized, but to stand there and have a spear thrust through his foot to say to everyone, Jesus has saved me. He was willing to go through that pain because he was so thankful of the new life Christ had given. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, do you want to serve him tonight? Do you want to serve him? I can guarantee you, as we head into the water tonight, I'll have no spear. But I tell you, baptism does show your willingness to serve Christ. Hallelujah. How many knows water baptism? New life. New love. New Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise him across the house. Could you just take time? Do you love him? Are you thankful for the new life? Are you thankful for the new life? Are you thankful? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.